To recap on what we had last week, we made some points on the old law versus the new law. I chose this because I think it's a subject that we have to get straight before we start, or we'll jump to the wrong conclusions and we'll draw things from the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Law, Law of Christ, all referred to all the same. If we don't get that straight in our mind, we will jump to wrong conclusions because we will be out of our context. We talked about the general broad use of the word law in the Bible. It's a very big, broad, general word that's used in a lot of different ways. We talked about how it was used as law in general in Romans 2. We talked about how it was used and referred to the Ten Commandments in Romans 7:7, to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, in Luke 24:44, and to just all the Old Testament scriptures in general, in John 10:34, 12:34, 15:25, and how it also referred to what we will spend some of our time on today more, to the gospel and or the teachings that Christ left us, Galatians 6:2, James 1:25, James 2:8, and Romans 8:2. I put those on the handout. I didn't have that ready last week, so I put some of these together so that you can go back and further study these things and make a more in-depth study, hopefully. And I hope you've had a chance to look through some of that so this week we can wrap this subject up and move on. Lord willing, next week we'd like to contrast an old day versus a new day. Now, to help you focus more in, because like we said, that's a very broad term, it can mean a lot, but the Sabbath versus the first day of the week. So you see, as we go into some of these subjects, as we go on down through the quarter, this is a good foundation, old law versus the new law, to get under our belts so that it'll help us with our other studies. We pointed out last week four major weaknesses of the old law. What were some of those that we pointed out?
Could not remit sins.
Couldn't remit sins, could it? It couldn't give righteousness or it couldn't give life. That was the big thing. We mentioned Romans 7:10 that says, "In the commandment which was ordained to life," speaking of the old, "I found to be unto death." It was a good law. God was perfect. It was holy. It was just. We'll look at that in a minute. And it had a specific purpose that God set in place and that God fulfilled through Christ. Galatians 3:21 was another verse that we used. It said, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The point being made, if that old law could have given life, then righteousness would have came through it. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, speaking of the Mosaic law, then Christ is dead in vain. Romans 3:21, we brought that up. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That came later on through Christ. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh is a comment that it makes there, making the point that there was things in the law, the old law, that it was not to do that was manifested later through Christ. Hebrews 8:7, for if that first covenant, being Moses, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second, which was the new covenant, Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. I caution you in your studies when you read these verses. They're very clear in the point that he's making, but sometimes in the translation of words that were used years ago sometimes may be used in a little different sense. We always let what decide the definition of our words?
Context.
That's the great thing about God's Word. If we make it harmonize, and we look at it with no contradictions, and we keep it in context, it will check itself. It will flag itself when you step out of parameter. When you step out of that word, it will flag it somewhere else. Was the first covenant bad? Was there something wrong? Was there a fault? We looked at Romans 7:12, which said it was holy, it was just, and it was good. But it was for a specific purpose, for a specific people. And that's what we spend some of our time on. It was not that it was erred or things were wrong. It was the fact that it was man could not follow it to the T. There was a need that was left within it because man could not follow it to a T. And when he fell out with that law and sin came in, there was the gap. There was no way to get rid of sin. And we know God furnished a way for the sin to be pushed off every year. But it was merely pushed off. Until Jesus Christ came and died for sin, there was no forgiveness of sin. When He died for all sin of the future and of the past. And that's the way it was paid. This old law, it wasn't given to give us life or to restore life. It was given as laws or rules to the Jews, Israel nation only, to govern them, to give them rules to follow. It wasn't there to impart righteousness, but it was there to impart obedience to God. The law just showed man how truly sinful he was. It didn't show the true terribleness of sin. I don't think you can fathom that until you look at the price that had to be really paid. But it did show sin, and it showed how truly sinful he was. Second point that we made, it would not fully convey the terribleness of this sin. It showed sin, and it showed the breaking of the law, and it showed punishment. But it couldn't convey the whole terribleness of it because it was a physical law. It was a physical do and don't do. It had a penalty, just like our laws do today. But it couldn't show the terribleness or the scope of the greatness of the price that had to be paid for the forgiveness of that sin and for the eternity until the price was paid. I thought about this when I first started this study. How do we often know how bad something really is? When I was young, or any time we break a rule or we do something wrong, when we receive our just reward for that, that's when we really get a grasp on how bad something we've done. I thought about, when I was a child, left my bicycle out one time laying by the road. Dad wanted to teach me a lesson. He took that bike and hit it. When I discovered that bike was gone, I didn't really feel or understand how bad I had done, what was really how wrong it was, until he gave me the penalty. You get to buy another one. You get to buy your own bike back. Then I realized I need to be more responsible. I learned my lesson, and I don't think you can truly know the terribleness of our sin until you see eternity in hell, until you see the great price that it required of God Himself coming to earth in the form of His Son and dying. A horrible death, a horrible life leading up. And then His resurrection, His ascension to power. Then you begin to realize it's much bigger than just something you receive in the physical world. This law also, we mentioned, didn't have an example of perfect obedience. There was no men in the old law that were perfect. They all had their faults. They all had their problems. Had good examples, and they were given to us as examples. Good points to follow, but they all had their faults, didn't they? It wasn't a suitable law for all men and all nations. It was given to the Israelite nation, Exodus 20, verses 1 through 2, Romans 3, 1 through 2, 9 and 4. And it wasn't given to other nations. It was for the Jews. It was for the Israelites. It was the law of Moses. Uh, Psalms 147, 19 through 20 was another verse I had that mentions it was not given to other nations. This law was sufficient for the Jewish, but it wasn't for the whole world as in general. We mentioned, remember, man has always been under God and under rule and under law of God. But that was from the very beginning. Something new took place when He placed the descendants of Abraham under their own law. That was a law that was in existence after one was already there and continued to be there until Jesus Christ brought us all under one. So it tells us itself it was given for the Jew. It was not for the whole world. The strengths of the new law. We mentioned Christ's law could give righteousness and life. It did have that ability. Romans 6:23, 2 Corinthians 5:21, James 1:25. It wasn't a law in the sense of what we had to do and not do. It taught us that faith, mercy, and grace comes to us, and salvation is through that. And we can only receive that. Righteousness can only be obtained when God can get rid of our sin. And the only way we get rid of our sin was through Jesus Christ. He pushed it back with the Jewish nation for a while. But eventually Christ had to die for all sin. Life still not attained by law keeping, but by grace and an obedient faith to Christ. The new law or covenant did reveal the terribleness of sin. We looked at what happened to man in the Garden of Eden. We looked at the destruction of the world by the flood. We looked at the confusion of the languages at Babel. We looked at the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And thousands of others that died, that God put to death because of their disobedience. And we can look at those things, and in a lot of sense we can say in our minds that they were deserved, that they had done things that they suffered punishment for. And that truly does not give us the terribleness, the true terribleness of that sin. If you look at an example maybe where man had not, you know, at least consciously and knowingly violated God, it would be a little bit different. But we have very few examples of that. Uzzah was one who just reached out to steady the ark, to do a good thing. But whether it's out of ignorance or rebellion, God struck him dead. Because he broke God's law. None of these showed the terribleness of it. None of them showed the gravity of it as much as Jesus Christ coming to earth as God, living and being rejected. New law also furnished us with a perfect life of obedience to God through Jesus Christ. Christ gave us a perfect example, and He told us the things of old, the old law is fulfilled. It's time to vanish away. The new law becomes a universal law for all men in the nation. Now we have no borders. As the Jewish law clearly was only for the Jew, the descendant of Abraham, we see now that it's a universal law for all men in all nations. I realize under the old law that they made a provision for a proselyte to bring someone in, but they were never a descendant. They never had a family or a bloodline that was under that old law. This new one is a universal law for all man, all stature. So we got some valuable lessons that we can learn from that first verse, that first lesson. These points that we made with the old law and the new law. Because until we get these down, we can't move on and find truth when we ignore the instruction that's been given us about the old law. Justification before God today. It's not found by going back to the old law or the old covenant. It's got to be the new law, doesn't it? The new covenant. The gospel of grace. That's where we've got to go today. To the New Testament. To the new covenant. To the law of Christ. To study and understand. To get in our minds the things that we need to do. To come into a relationship with God. We learn how to be righteous before God. And it's not by our actions. It's simply by the fact that we have forgiveness of our sins. And He extends that to every man who will obey and submit obediently unto salvation. another valuable lesson that we can learn. God has not commissioned His people to go and preach the old law. We remember in Matthew 28:18-20, He said to teach the gospel. Take this gospel message to the world for the salvation of man. Christ was preparing to exit the world, wasn't He? Leaving. This gospel was what was going to be able to save the world that had to be taken on. The old law, as He said, was fulfilled. He was obedient to His Father until it was fulfilled. Christ wanted us to abide in the teachings of Himself. 2 John 9 is a good verse that speaks of the law of Christ. And that's what we are under today. Third lesson that we can learn from that is the practices of the old law are not to be bound upon Christians today. Things such as paying tithes to the that was something that was done to the priest. That was something that was done to sustain the priestly order. God was sustaining all that. They didn't receive a land inheritance, but they did receive the tithe. And that's the way they did it under the old law. We often go today, because we're under the new law, to 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. We often go to 1 Corinthians 29:3-9. We often go to 1 Corinthians 9:6-15. That tells us, we give as we're prospered. We give as we purpose in our hearts. We examine the blessings that God's given us, and we weigh those things in our mind, and we take notice of them. And then we make a conscious effort, and we discern of what we give back to God now. And He asks us to give as we're prospered. He promises that if we give, if we make Him a priority, that He will take care of us. We have those assurances. That's under the New Testament. Practices of the old law are not to be banned on Christians today. Instrumental music and worship to God. We know that we're instructed to sing. That's why we do that today. A lot of the music comes into worship, and it's based or justified on a lot of the Old Testament law. Observing the Jewish holy days and Sabbath days. There was a lot of those. A lot of people still look at those and recognize those. But those were for the Jews. That was the Israelite nation. And the Sabbath days, we're going to spend our next lesson, the old day versus the new day, looking at that in depth and understand what the Sabbath was, how it came, and what it is now. Another practice that can't be bound upon Christians today is any other Jewish custom or practice that was commanded under the old law. Fourth point, valuable lesson that we can learn, we're to highly esteem Christ, our Deliverer, our Savior, and our Lawgiver and King. Do you agree that when we look at what was impossible without the death of Christ, and we see now what is possible with Christ when we compare the old law and the new law, I think it gives us a lot better understanding and reality of what a huge price was required to take care of us and to pay for our sins to remit us. Matthew 17:5 says, "Hear Him only." That's who we're to listen to today, Christ. Acts 3:23. Let's go there. He's talking here. Let's back up to verse 22. Acts 3:22. It says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise you up a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you." It's the prediction. Christ. We're to hear Him. Verse 23, "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So we see here, those who refuse to hear Christ are going to be cut off. That's what God tells us. John 8:32. One that we often quote says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This truth that Christ is speaking about is the truth that He brought to us. This new covenant that He brought to us. This new testament that He made with us. To no longer have a strong, I guess, be a good way to say it, attachment to Moses and the prophets, to break away from that. You got to understand, a lot of the teaching and the preaching at this time was right at the end of the old law. I mean, this was what was going out and new was coming in. And a lot of effort had to be placed and emphasis had to be placed on this transition. And even through the early church, it was a constant problem and a constant effort was made, resource put to it, to keep those from leaving Christ and trying to go back under an old law that Christ said He had fulfilled and that had come to an end. So this was, they were to no longer have this strong attachment to them. They had all already been fulfilled or laid their mantles, I think it says, at the feet of Jesus. Look at Matthew 17 is a good chapter to look at and to study on that. When you get in there and you study that, you see this need to, I guess, recognize and appreciate that strong bond to the old law, but to know and realize and understand that all that was laid at the feet of Jesus, like it says. We are to accept Christ's authority and reject all others. To adorn our lives by keeping this doctrine of Christ. That's some of the valuable lessons that we can learn from the points that we made last week. Some of the concluding thoughts that we can make, and just as we close our time out, both the Old Testament and the New are the Word of God. They were inspired by Him. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us how perfect God's Word is. We mentioned Romans a while ago that brought that out. Both have their place and their value to the Christian. Look at Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before, speaking of the old law, were written for our learning, or the old scriptures, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have this hope. It gives us hope. It's given to us for our learning. But Christ clearly makes the point that it's the New Testament, the new cover law. It's His Word that will judge us in the end. It's the old law came and did exactly what God meant it to do, what God had it planned to do. It eventually brought Christ into the world under it. Christ lived under the old law. It wasn't until the death of the testator that the new becomes effect. So it accomplished exactly what He done. He took a family, a lineage, out of a world that was already under his law, whether they observed Him or not. He took a single family and gave it a special law. A special family that He was going to bring His Son into the world through. And that's what it tells us it did. That's why Christ said He fulfilled it. It came for a purpose. It governed that family separate from the rest of the world and brought that huge price into the world that had to be sacrificed for men. So, some say that it superseded. It did supersede. But I don't leave the thought, at least in my own mind, that anything was left undone. Nothing was left undone. There was parts that it didn't possess and have, such as righteous, the ability to make us righteous. And it was a law of do's and don'ts, whereas Christ came in under a completely different aspect and showed us grace and mercy, gave us a way to have that righteousness through the forgiveness of sins. So it's two laws, two different things. In essence, there was three systems. God had man under law from the very beginning. We're told that He spoke to man through the patriarchs. We're not told that it was a written word. Could have been. We're not told that it was. But he did know man. Man knew Him. We know from the very beginning that Cain killed Abel over sacrifices. How did they know to sacrifice? They were under law of God. When the sacrifice was made not by faith and one was made by faith, faith is believing. Faith, you have to know something, be under law. So we know God had law from the very, very, very beginning. But we just got to keep this Mosaic law in the proper place that God intended it and put it. We all got to serve under the same law in order to achieve unity. That's why we spend a lot of time studying these subjects. Because if everyone doesn't abide by the same law, by the same rule, we have diversity. And we know God hates that. So we have to get these things under our belt. We know God's Word is inclusive. In other words, it includes all we need. 2 Peter 1:3 and some other verses that we often think. Everything we need is here. It leaves us not needing anything other than what's here. And with that same thought, it's exclusive. It excludes everything that's not here. That's where we see a lot of division in the world today. Matthew 4:4, John 12:47-48, and 1 Timothy 1:3, Galatians 1:8, you know, these are all Scripture that we constantly remind ourselves that if we teach any other doctrine than what Christ teaches, we're cut off. We're cut out. We're cursed to teach anything else. So the exclusiveness is very important, that we don't allow what is not here to creep in, because that's where we see diversity in the religious world. If it doesn't say you can't do it, they feel that they're justified in doing it. We see what happens when authority is not respected by looking around us. The same thing's going to happen if we don't teach ourselves and understand that we are under the new law, the New Testament. That's what governs us. When we all fall under the same thing, then's when we have unity. That's why it's important. That's why we spend this much time. We're going to go into some other studies next week, like I said. Be kind of preparing yourself for the old day versus the new day. Even though that's kind of something that came from the old law and the new law, it brings out some good points to help us understand that. And we will look at that in depth, and then we'll go on through our studies. So I'll try to have a handout next week for that, maybe Wednesday night if time will allow that. Any thoughts or questions?